our Shifu u Technologic. Theron u Peler I Ihir Ikao na Kunri Shi Relativity. Shital Shiar Said Hide Sekue Ike.
Hey everyone, you are listening to Treknologic, where we review Star Trek episodes and enjoy Trek trivia aboard the Federation timeship USS Relativity. This is Treknologic number 196 for Stardate 2016.317. Today we'll be reviewing the Deep Space Nine episode In Purgatory's Shadow.
Why do you always make fun of my feelings for you?
That's the look, exactly.
It's probably gas.
My dear, you're young,
so I realize that you're a poor judge of character.
Yes, he has his moments.
At the first sign of betrayal, I will kill him, but I promise to return the body intact.
Finding and winning your perfect mate by Dr. Jennings' ring?
I assume that's a joke.
I'd like to get my hands on that fellow Earl Grey and tell him a thing or two about tea leaves.
How glorious. Or don't.
Young friends, I'd like to stay here and chat all day, but I have dresses to make, trousers to mend. It's a full life, if a trifle banal. And do tell Captain Sisko that I'd be more than happy to decode any Cardassian laundry lists that come across his desk.
Carrie, I never thought about the possibility that we could have shapeshifters on our ship. Could you start testing to find out?
I don't need to start testing to find out. I already know what everybody is.
Captain.
Yes, Mike?
You know, we do have shapeshifters on the ship. They're actually registered crew members.
Oh, I totally knew that.
What? Shapeshifters? Ugh! Is that allowed, Ben? What if they're spies?
Well, while the Dominion is not part of the Federation, they are part of the Temporal Alliance that supports our ship. They want this timeline to exist as much as anybody else. Well, you know, and that they're not allowed to actually copy anybody on the crew.
Well, I'm not so sure about this. Mike, I want you to keep an eye on them while we do this review. You could just add that to your babysitting orders along with my clone. God, why do you keep reminding me of that green guy from Futurama?
I wonder why.
This is the one that is actually the tale of two offspring.
This was written by Ira Stephen Baer and Robert Hewitt Wolf and directed by Gabrielle Beaumont. It originally aired on February 10th, 1997. And Geos ranked this ninth of 175 episodes.
Ooh.
Is she from the Beaumonts from Beaumont?
I have no idea. You could probably write and ask her.
For trivia. In the original screenplay for this episode, Tane just admits that Garrick's his son, says he loves him, and dies. But Ira Stephen Baer never liked that. So he actually rewrote it so that we get the scene that we get in the episode, which he felt was much more Tane-like than just admitting. And this episode marks the first appearance of the real Martok. And we know this is the first time that we've seen him because he says he knows of Worf. And when we see him in the show, he meets Worf right away. And not only does he just meet Worf, he meets Worf because Worf shamed his son in public. He would not say, "I have heard of you," if that was the way he really met him.
Right.
Oh, nice.
So the whole time up till now, Martok's been a changeling.
That's very good consistency. We very much approve, Star Trek. Thank you.
Yes.
This episode mentions a Borg attack. And while you might initially assume it's referring to the Battle of Sector 001 from First Contact, the star dates don't work out. And the star date for the Sector 001 battle is actually after the star date for this two-parter. So either there's an inconsistency in the star dates, or there was some sort of skirmish that just didn't get mentioned except for here.
Being in Star Trek?
I just almost had it. And then Melanie Smith is playing Zial in this episode, but by this point she is the third actress who has played Zial. The first two were Sia Baton, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And then there's another episode by Tracy Medendorf. And then Melanie Smith takes over at this point and plays Zial through her death.
Zial's death, not
her yes.
death.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Zial's death.
Because I knew Chris was about to ask.
We first visit Kira and Odo, who are rearranging things now that Odo can shapeshift again. Kira notices he has some interesting reading material, and Odo confides in her that when he thought he was going to be a solid forever, there were things he needed to know, and I don't think he trusted Bashir with a birds and the bees conversation.
Romance is for solids.
Well, you are a solid 18 hours a day. I'm sure there are plenty of women on this station who would be very interested in you if you gave them a chance.
Well, I'll keep that in mind, Major.
Odo, you missed your chance.
God, Odo.
Man, Odo. Well, he only read the first three chapters, so, I mean.
Wait, what was that?
He only read the first three chapters, so he didn't, like, get all of the tutelage he should have.
He didn't get to innuendo. I think that's chapter four.
Right.
Dang.
Well, when he does finish the book, he'll be like, no! Now I get it!
They're interrupted by Dax and Ops. It turns out Deep Space Nine has intercepted a coded message.
It looks like a Cardassian military code, but the computer doesn't recognize it.
Oh, it's Cardassian, all right.
Right, okay, because they use the same codes for 20 years. Well, actually, it was just like a few years that, this is season four, so the Cardassians just left about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, but there's still been tensions with them, so I'm sure there's intelligence on current codes. And they were getting information during that whole time that the Tal Shiar and the Obsidian Order were idiotic.
Actually, if anybody was going to keep up on codes, it would be Kira.
Yep.
That's true.
Even they could have been at peace with the Cardassians for 100 years, and she would still be up on their current codes.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is not your average Cardassian recursive encryption algorithm. Sisko gets impatient.
I want to know what they're saying now.
We do have an expert in Cardassian codes living on the station.
He should have just said compensate. Compensate for your foolishness.
That's right.
I say that a lot.
Yes, you do.
A lot.
In case you didn't know, the expert is Garrick. We only get to catch up with him after he's returned to his fan club, consisting of Bashir and Dukat's daughter. He shares that it was a heavily encrypted planetary survey report.
I would have thought you'd be a little disappointed, too. After all, it could have been from one of the survivors of the Cardassian fleet that was lost in the Gamma Quadrant.
Oh, I'd given up hope of ever finding any trace of them long ago.
Really? I never saw you as the giving up type.
There comes a time when one must face reality, my dear. Those people are gone and are never coming back.
Garrick leaves, ostensibly to get back to work, but the next time we see him, he's entering a shuttle.
Going somewhere?
I really must remember to stop underestimating you, Doctor. How did you know?
You mean that you were lying about the contents of the message? You said you'd given up on the Cardassian survivors who were lost in the Gamma Quadrant. Well, Zial was right. You're not the giving up sort.
Very good, Doctor. You've come a long way from the naive young man I met 5 years ago. You've become distrustful and suspicious. It suits you.
I had a good teacher.
What did the message really say, Garrick?
It was a call for help from Inabrin Tain.
Tain? But you said you'd seen his ship destroyed by the Dominion.
I did. But Tain was head of the Obsidian Order for 20 years. If he can survive that, he can survive anything. I have to find him, Doctor. I owe it to him.
You don't owe Tain anything. He had you exiled from Cardassia.
Yes, but aside from that, we were very close. He was my mentor, and I'm not going to turn my back on him. If it'll make you feel any better, you can come with me. All you have to do is come up with an excuse why you need the runabout, and we could leave immediately.
So let me get this straight. You want me to lie to my commanding officer, violate Starfleet regulations, and go with you on a mission into the Gamma Quadrant, which will probably get us both killed?
I'm ready when you are.
In that case, let's go. To Captain Sisko's office.
I think at that point we should have known that wasn't him.
Because he didn't say let's go?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good foreshadowing, you know, like you've become so distrustful and
yes,
cynical.
I do actually agree, like where he's like, no, you lied to me.
Oh, yes, for sure.
But that's also the other thing, like why he would have just called them on it right there.
Oh, in the dinner at the dinner table.
Yeah. Like Garrick, come on.
Right. Although really, Sisko should have called him on it.
What?
When he told them that it was a heavily encrypted planetary survey. And Sisko just believed that.
Oh, yeah.
Because anytime I'm talking about there being, you know, like rain, I'm going to make it heavily encrypted.
Yes.
Anytime I'm saying, hey, guess what? There's caves.
Well, okay. Here's the other thing. We have no... There is no reason to believe that's actually what he told Sisko.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Who knows what lie he told Sisko? That's just the lie he told Bashir.
That's entirely true.
I like that he's going to have multiple lies.
Well, he does say that you need to practice.
Yes.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet. So.
Oh, yeah.
No, we haven't.
In Sisko's office, Garrick lets them know the truth. He says he needs to go, and Sisko agrees, but says he isn't going to go alone. He has someone in mind to accompany him.
I don't know what makes me angrier. That you agreed to go into the Gamma Quadrant with Garrick. Or that I had to hear it from Sisko.
I was going to tell you.
When? On your way out the airlock?
A Klingon warrior does not have to explain why he chooses to face danger, not even to his Parmakai.
So in other words, you were afraid I'd make a scene. That I'd embarrass you. Maybe even cry.
You are capable of anything.
Don't worry, Worf. I won't be shedding any tears over you.
Then you came to wish me a good death in battle.
No. I came for these.
My Klingon operas.
Well, you won't be using them for the next few days. Somebody might as well enjoy them. What? Something wrong?
You have a tendency to misplace things.
And you're afraid that I might lose your precious operas?
Yes.
It's a distinct possibility. If I were you, I'd hurry back. That is, if you want to keep your collection intact.
I thought this was kind of interesting that Dax is upset that he's going to go, that he's been assigned to go to the Gamma Quadrant. It's not like, you know, Worf says, hey, let me get away and go here. He's told, like, by Sisko that he's going to go.
I think
not told. That's what she's saying. You agreed to this. So that implies that he was asked, not told.
I think she's more upset that he's going there with only Garrick as his backup. Because she knows darn well Garrick would leave him in a second if he needed to.
I thought this was all about her making fun of Klingons for using physical media to store their songs.
Of course you did.
What exactly do you store your songs on, Captain?
In the cloud.
You know that is not actually a cloud, right?
The space cloud.
Wait, are you talking about that cloud that Kirk met that one time? Is that where you store your music? Holy crap.
That's like eight clouds, man. It's well backed up.
Oh. When you ever want to listen to a song, you just have to be struck by lightning.
So is that what that highly shielded room down in the sublevels is? You've got one of those clouds prison down there holding all your music?
Storing all of his music.
High clarity,
well, you have
man.
To admit, it's not going to go anywhere.
Oh. High fidelity cloud music.
Right.
Actually, I think she's just upset that, like, he was asked and she wasn't.
Yeah, that could be. I was expecting her to ask to go with them, but
she right. didn't. Well, no, because for plot device.
Yes.
It can only be two.
Right.
Good. And, you know, one of them should be the security expert.
Right. Well, and also for plot device, it can't be Bashir.
I thought right. there could be only one.
Well, there is only one. One Starfleet officer. The other one is Garrick.
And who knows what he is?
He's a lot of things.
I do have to admit, I actually thought, because even when I watched it for this, it had been a long time since I saw this episode. I actually thought it was weird that there was no argument from Bashir.
Yes.
His boyfriend is going off to the Delta Quadrant or Gamma Quadrant or whichever quadrant goes on the other side of that door. And he's just like, okay.
Yeah. Well, because he was planning on trying to block it. He doesn't want him to go.
No. But Ben is talking about when we believe this is actually Bashir.
Right. I know. Well, that's just another, wow, that's really weird. I wonder what's going on because he's not acting like normal.
Right. I should say his second boyfriend, because we all know that
O'Brien.
Yes, his primary and only ever love is O'Brien.
Yes.
The other thing is Jadzia had to stay because she was working on the wormhole thing with O'Brien.
Yes.
Later
they didn't know about that. Yeah, they didn't know about that yet.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, it's for a plot device. So.
Yes.
I think it really is what she says it is. You didn't tell me and you weren't going to tell me. Just fess up to it.
Yep, and I thought Worf was being kind of a with him just saying, oh, well, you're here to wish me a good death.
Well, no, that is what he would want her to do.
No, that is just Worf being, you know what Worf is? Worf is living out the Klingon version of those Irishmen. Worf is like a caricature of Klingon. He is so Klingon, other Klingons think he's crazy.
And I think you're right, because, you know, he was born, you know, raised with humans. He has forced himself to be, and his girlfriend told him that, uber, you know, Klingon.
Yeah.
All right, Garrick is saying his own goodbye to Zial, and is interrupted by Dukat, who threatens to kill him. Oh, that's
I think you have to say it that way.
Yeah, I think there's a contractual obligation.
Kind of like how you have to say Dougherty.
I think that's just you.
Gentlemen, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm sure it's no excuse to act like a pair of Klingons.
Oh, it's
burn.
Below the belt.
What a burn.
Well, now Zial is upset. Quark has threatened to call security, and Garrick decides to rub salt in the wound.
Public opinion seems to be running against you. You know, I think that actually helped my back.
Let's go, Garrick. I'll buy you a drink.
A pleasure, as always, my dear. You do have a lovely daughter. She must take after her mother.
Well, we know Garrick is not a duplicate.
Yes.
No.
Although I did love that when he had him bent over the railing backwards, so he was all twisted up, and he gets up and says, I think that actually helped my back.
Yes.
That was the best.
What I liked is that he was so afraid of what was going to go down between these two, he was going to buy Garrick a drink to separate this fight.
Yes.
He doesn't offer that when Klingons fight.
Well,
but Garrick and Dukat, he's going to buy a drink in order to get them separated.
He would be out of business if he did it when Klingons fight.
Well, that's true. Maybe it's just economics. All right, Worf and Garrick are ready to leave, and Sisko tells Worf to avoid the Dominion at all costs. On the runabout, Garrick and Worf are talking while heading to the Gamma Quadrant. Garrick asks Worf a favor.
You want me to sponsor your application to Starfleet Academy.
But what do you think?
I think it is a bad idea.
Well, I'd write the actual letter myself. I just need you to sign it.
Find someone else.
Why? Because I'm a Cardassian? You're a Klingon. Nog is a Ferengi. Starfleet Academy is a very accepting place.
You are not just a Cardassian. You are a spy, an assassin, and a saboteur.
I know I've done some unfortunate things in the past, and I regret them. That's why I want to join Starfleet, why I need to join Starfleet. I'm looking for a fresh start, a way to make up for all the damage I've done. I need to prove to myself that I can be better than I am, but I need your help, your support, to start me on my way to redemption.
If that is how you feel, I will consider your request.
That's all I ask. Frankly, I think I can be quite an asset to Starfleet. With my extensive experience, I could skip the lower ranks entirely and begin my career as a commander. Maybe you should suggest that in your letter. Tell them you'd be honored to serve under me.
Do not play games with me. You have no desire to join Starfleet, do you?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Then why all of this deception?
Because lying is a skill like any other, and if you want to maintain a level of excellence, you have to practice constantly.
Practice on someone else.
Mr. Worf, you're no fun at all.
You should have known that already. You're a spy.
He knew it. He just wanted to tell him.
Yeah. Although, honestly, I can't believe Worf even went for it. I mean, that was the biggest fish hook, and he just got him totally.
Well, I think overall, what else is he going to do? They're on the runabout. There's nothing else. So it's just a way to pass the time.
I would have been like, you go write the letter right now, and I'll take a look at it.
You should entertain me.
Make it at least 100 pages.
Be sure to talk about all your glorious battles.
That's right.
And then I'll post it on Facebook.
But you know, Worf is basically a Boy Scout. He may be a Klingon, but he's a Boy Scout. He is like the last honorable person there is anywhere. In the old school honor that, you know, the Klingons espouse. He's the last one that really is that way.
It's the Kales Scouts.
Yes, the Kales Scouts.
Kales. Or Kales, yes.
That's why he's the only one that knows how to do the tea ceremony, because he earned that badge.
You know, we're cracking up, but that really, I actually could see him, like, as a kid, basically, like, as some of those people who go on to be like lifelong Eagle Scouts, where they devote so much of their lives to that. He probably devoted so much of his life to this. And I think that's why he likes opera. He believes in that version of Klingons.
Oh my gosh. Yep. That's why he wore that sash.
It was gold medals.
He had so many badges that they had to be stored digitally in that little thing.
Back on Deep Space Nine, Dukat goes to Kira, who promised to look after his daughter, a promise he feels was broken.
Listen, if this is about taking Zialta's services at the Bajoran Shrine...
I'm not talking about exposing her to your backward superstitions. She's half Bajoran. That's part of her cultural heritage. I understand that. I'm talking about Garrick.
Kira tells him that Zial is lonely. Garrick is the only other Cardassian on the station. And even though she thinks it's a mistake, it's one she's willing to let Zial make. Dukat threatens her, and she is very unimpressed. We visit Garrick and Worf again, who are trying to find a way to get into Dominion space without being detected. Worf is very resistant to the suggestions Garrick makes, saying it is too risky, and Garrick pulls out the one thing Worf can't say no to.
It's the honorable thing to do.
You use that word, but you have no idea what it means.
But he convinces him.
I actually like Garrick's response, because his response is, no, but you do.
Right.
And that's the way he convinces him, and they stumble across a bunch of ships inside this nebula, because they were going to hide in it.
Right.
And they are Jim'Hadar ships, which then begin to pursue them.
We must warn the station. There's only one reason for the Dominion to hide such a large fleet this close to the wormhole.
You think they're planning to attack the Alpha Quadrant?
I'm certain of it.
We take a brief aside to the station, where we see life does go on as normal. Kira and Dax are talking about the new baby O'Brien. Such normalcy is interrupted by a distress call.
It says Jem'Hadar, and then some coordinates I can't make out. Build up, and then...
Go on.
It ends with imminent.
Imminent.
We just lost contact with two of our listening posts in the Gamma Quadrant.
The Dominion. They're coming.
Notify Starfleet Command. Put the station on yellow alert. Make sure everyone knows this is not a drill. Major, I want you to take the Defiant into the Gamma Quadrant. Locate Mr. Worf. Find out what the hell is going on there.
And if an invasion fleet is on the way?
Then get back here as soon as possible. And God help us all.
Well, at this point, there's really not a lot to say. I mean, it's kind of like, it's a big part of this, of the upcoming war arc. So it is a very significant scene, but as far as just on its own as a scene, it's, you know, there's nothing amazing, nothing bad about it. I think it worked out well. They found this nebula. They're like, oh, look, this is a nebula where nobody's going to be able to find us. Oh, look, we're not the only ones who thought that.
This is a good hiding spot.
Yes, a very good one, apparently.
So the one thing that bugged me about this is, well, and then here are some coordinates I can't make out. Well, then how do you know their coordinates?
Yeah.
It could have just been Morse code.
It could have been like...
coordinates are as follows.
Yeah, right. Or they tried to send us some coordinates, but that's not what he said. He said, and then here are some coordinates that I can't make out.
Well, but it could be like they didn't read them the coordinates. They uploaded the coordinates from the computer. So they see that there's a file header saying this should be a coordinate, but it's a corrupted file.
Oh, good call.
Then it would be something you can't open.
But you still know what it is. Like if I get an MP3 that's corrupted, I know it's an MP3, but I can't open it. So I don't know what it says.
Right.
If the coordinates are a file, he knows it's a file for coordinates, but yes, he can't read it.
But if you got an MP3 that was corrupted, you wouldn't say, and here's an MP3 I can't make out.
I would if I was talking to Dave.
You would not.
I would.
You would say, this doesn't work. It won't open.
Wow, this is your big thing?
If I was talking to Dave, I wouldn't, because I would just... Dave doesn't understand anything about files or computers. I would give him the most basic thing. I know this is an MP3. I don't know what it says.
You can't open it. You can't make it work.
Well, that's right? what O'Brien should have said. I can't make this work.
Dave. Yes.
That's the problem. You're trying to tell me what I would say to Dave. I would tell Dave, this is an MP3. I don't know what it says. That's what I would say.
Okay.
Worf and Garak are taken prisoner by the Dominion and brought to an internet camp. I'm sorry, internment camp.
I did not write internet.
No, internet camp.
Sorry, it was corrupted.
It was supposed to be internment camp, but he couldn't make it out.
So now it's the internet camp.
They find Martok, who tells them he has been there for 2 years. He also brings them to Tane, who is very ill. He still chides Garak for coming with just Worf.
What do you want me to say?
I want you to say thank you, Ela. Your loyalty is most gratifying. I knew I could count on you.
But I couldn't count on you, could I? All you've done is to doom us both.
This right here, I just gotta say, this is shows just what... And I'm not going to say the word I want to because you'll have to bleep it. He's just a total jerk. He's kicked Garak out of Cardassia's space, exiled him, and he's like, you don't have an army? What the heck?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's kind of the parent that wants their kid to do every single thing.
Right.
But those type of parents tend to be helicopter parents, not exile you to another country parents.
Maybe he did it for Garak's protection.
Well, regardless of why he did it, he should know he's not going to be able to come there with a giant force of people.
Well, the interesting thing is that had they avoided the nebula, they would have at least been able to get there and maybe beam him out.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh.
Interestingly, the nebula was the worst place to be.
Right. If they had avoided the nebula, there would have been no ships because they're all in the nebula.
Where they can't see.
Worf probably will never be cautious again after this. We're just flying straight there.
Kira has returned from her trip through the wormhole and is meeting with Sisko, Deep Space Nine senior officers, and Dukat, because there's a lot of craziness going on.
The Cardassian fleet is in shambles. The Romulans are not much better off. And between the Klingon War and the recent Borg attack, Starfleet's spread pretty thin.
Sounds like they're having a bad time.
Yes.
Kira lets them know that there are at least 50 Dominion ships heading their way. And Sisko says they will need to seal the wormhole as a last resort. Don't worry, they have found a way to seal it without damaging the wormhole or the prophets. And he says they have 36 hours. Now,
yeah, like, does he know, like, they're going to arrive in 36 hours? Or he's just saying, hey, in 36 hours, we're going to blow it up no matter what? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's all of the above. I don't care what your excuses are. In 36 hours, something's going to happen. Right.
Well, I don't see the prophets as letting them destroy.
Right. Them,
right. It's like, they're prophets. I don't think they're in danger here.
Right. Because right before he gives the order, they're going to be like, yoink, we need to talk.
Yeah. That's like, well, I've destroyed something that the Q interacted with. I hope it's not going to destroy the Q.
Yeah.
The Q continuum.
Silly little human.
I also like Dukat's response, because they're like, well, what can we rely on from the Cardassians? And Dukat's like, my ship's here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's going to take like 2 days for Starfleet to show up.
Yeah.
Well, it'll take some time for Cardassia to show up, too. I don't know if they could do it in 36 hours.
Right.
Well, he's not even offering help from Cardassia. He's just like, I'm here.
Yep. Yeah.
You have my ship and crew.
You have my sword.
I wonder if he's already starting to make deals with the Paw Wraiths at this point.
Well, it's interesting because he sees his daughter and he says, she's like, well, why didn't you just come into the temple? And he's like, no, I don't think so. So I don't know if that's a hint that he's already started to do that, or if he just thinks, you know, because it's a superstition.
I don't think so. I think he didn't do it because of that. He's like, I'm not worried about you introducing her to your backward superstition. It's part of her heritage. I just don't think he can be bothered. He didn't go in there because he'd have made a scene, and he didn't want to make a scene for his daughter. That's right. What I think it was. He'd have gone in there and be like, really? You're all stupid. And that would have totally, she'd never talk to him again. Because he has another normal family for Cardassian. So, I mean, he gets kids. He's got them.
All right, well, spending some quality time in the internment camp, Worf and Garak come face to face with Bashir, who tells them he was taken over a month ago.
I can only imagine what my replacement is up to on the station.
We must escape and warn Captain Sisko before that changeling carries out his mission.
What I'd love to know is, were there hints in the previous episodes?
Yeah, I don't know.
That would be where watching it serially would help a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I remember there were a little bit, but nothing super obvious.
Yeah, it might be one of those things where the character's just off, or they're just trying to, just like we're saying, you know, well, that seems a little out of character for Julian.
Yes.
In earlier in this episode.
But internally to the world, I don't see how that could have possibly been done. Because there's this whole I care for you more than my wife dynamic between the two of them, that there isn't any way the changeling could have duplicated. And I think this is one of the flaws in, and I feel this would have been better off if they had done this and he had realized it. Because
O'Brien,
because, you know, eventually we have that story where they have to admit, I care for you more than I care for my wife.
Yes.
And there's no way you could go a month for somebody who doesn't have that connection and not,
I don't know if that's
friendship
true.
Version of a breakup. How, you know, are we not friends anymore? What's going on?
Maybe they did.
But it should have been there. No. It can't be glossed over.
No, wasn't there, because later on O'Brien says, I've been hanging around with a changeling for a month and didn't even know.
So think about it. If this was his job, he's been maybe assigned to tail Julian for however many, you know, months now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, he could just be.
He could have been Julian's clothes, for crying out loud.
Exactly. And I mean, unless they're holographic.
Ben, you're muted.
Yay, Chris, bringing up holographic clothes. Fight that fight.
No, you're right. That's true. He could actually have been on the station for who knows how long before he took that position. You're correct. Yep. Right.
Yeah, because I've read a book that has shape changers in it, and they're assassins types, and they study their prey for like a year beforehand. And, you know, and of course, these are seasoned changelings, right? These are the best of the best of the best.
Right.
And so, I mean, I think they're as good as you could get at doing this sort of thing, because they're in key positions, right? He's there to make that one thing that lets them come through the wormhole, to make sure that they get through that wormhole.
You know what I'll bet you it was? He was that one little figurine that was O'Brien's favorite one.
The one that kept being found in different spots on the floor.
Yes,
Why is this on the floor?
And he kept yelling at Bashir because he's like, you keep losing it. He's like, I didn't do anything to it. Sorry, I just another slight tangent. I'll try and make it very quick. This, what we just talked about now, is one of the things I never understood, because the Dominion conquered Beta Zed. We know that they have amazing cloning and genetic technology, because they essentially handmade the Jem'Hadar. Why would they not make a telepathic version of the Vorta? Imagine if the Dominion had a telepathic version of the Vorta that they made that were not able to scan them, because we know that there are things that telepaths can't scan. So they could have engineered something. It's what I would have done if I was a founder. Done with my rant. I'm off my soapbox.
Note to self, make sure Ben never tries to take over the world.
He's telling us all his plan right now.
That's right.
He's monologuing. All right, back on Deep Space Nine, we found out what that mission might entail. As O'Brien and Dax are working on the mechanism to close the wormhole.
Julian, you're doing up this early.
You've been working for 16 hours straight. I thought you could do with some sandwiches.
It's very thoughtful.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Truer words were never spoken. Oh, if you need anything at all, let me know.
I think this is really funny, because as soon as we go back to the Bashir on the ship, it's not all the nice music. It's the, scary music.
Right.
Whenever we see Bashir.
Yep.
Now, my favorite thing is his mission is to make them sandwiches.
I thought they were going to be poisoned.
Me too.
No. They have the Dominion has not come through the wormhole yet. He can't poison them until they do.
Meanwhile, Dukat orders his daughter to leave, but she says no. When he tries to convince her, she still refuses.
He made a promise, and so did I. I said I would wait for him, and I will.
Is a promise to an enemy of your family more important than obeying your father? So be it. Stay here if that's what you want. Stay here and be damned.
You know what that line is totally reminiscent of? When they come and get Dax to go off with the old Klingons, their last argument to Dax is come and be damned.
Oh, nice. I thought it was like, I don't give a damn, Scarlet. Or, I don't, Scarlet, I don't give a damn. Back in the internment camp, Garak talks to his friend, Bashir, lamenting his choice to come.
I should have let that monster die forgotten and alone.
Well, frankly, I'm glad you came. Misery loves company.
All my life, I've done nothing but try to please that man. I let him mold me, let him turn me into a mirror image of himself. And how did he repay me? With exile. But I forgave him. And here, in the end, I thought maybe, just maybe, he could forgive me.
From what I've seen of him over the past month, he doesn't come across as the forgiving type.
I've been a fool. Let this be a lesson to you, Doctor. Perhaps the most valuable one I can ever teach you. Sentiment is the greatest weakness of all.
If that's true, it's a lesson I'd rather not learn.
I think that's true.
Yes.
That's a lesson he'd rather not learn? Yeah, it is.
No, I mean that it's important to keep sentiment, especially in the middle of a war.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, when you lose your humanity, well, we've seen what evil that could bring.
Yes.
And I think it's sentiment. It's your capacity for empathy. That's one of the things that makes us human. I mean, that's not exactly true because some animals have empathy as well.
Right.
Certainly, we probably express it more so, I would say.
Yes.
When Garrick is told that he has only moments to talk to his father, he is ever the dutiful son, no matter what he said previously.
All your enemies are dead.
Good. A man shouldn't allow his enemies to outlive him.
Then you can die happy, unless you still consider me your enemy.
Ilum, promise me one thing.
I'm listening.
Don't die here. Escape, live.
Let me guess, so that I can make the Dominion pay for what they've done to you.
You wouldn't deny an old man his revenge, would you?
I'll do as you ask, on one condition. That you don't ask me this favor as a mentor or a superior officer, but as a father asking his son.
You're not my son.
Father, father, you're dying. For once in your life, speak the truth.
I should have killed your mother before you were born. You have always been a weakness I can't afford.
So you've told me many times. Listen, Enyron. All I ask is that for this moment, let me be your son.
Ilum, remember that day in the country? You must have been almost 5.
How can I forget it? It was the only day.
I can still see you on the back of that riding hound. You must have fallen off 12 times, but you never gave up.
I remember limping home. You held my hand.
I was very proud of you that day.
This is a really, really hard to hear because we think of Garrick as like the sarcastic. He has no feelings or anything, but it's clear that all he's ever wanted is to be acknowledged by his father. And for whatever reason, his father couldn't do that.
Right.
Right. And he's been dutiful and he's killed all his father's enemies. And he came here and this is the last opportunity he has. And his father can't give him exactly what he wants, but I think he's giving him enough of what he needs.
I think so too. I think, and I also think that day he's pointing out is kind of a reflection on what Garrick is now. You know, the fact that he has never given up.
Right.
He's proud of him on this day too.
Right. But he's had to disavow him.
Right.
His whole life. And so he, you know, when he says that, there's like, you can't really hear it in this recording of it, but there's like an emphasis on that day.
Yes.
And it's really every day.
I also think it's very telling that he says, for once in your life, be honest. And he says, I should have killed you when you were born. No, killed your mother before you were born.
Yeah. Right.
Like, gee, nice.
Well, no, he's saying that he told him, you know, you were always a weakness I couldn't afford. And right. What has Garrick just said to Bashir? Yes. Sentiment is the ultimate weakness.
So he exiled him because he loved him, basically.
Yes.
I can't have you around because I care about you and it will make me make a mistake.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting. And the reason that the Zial stuff is in there, like as much as it is because this is really like a juxtaposition of two prominent Cardassians and their offspring and how they interact with their offspring and how much they care about their offspring where, you know, Tane, he loves his son. He can't bring himself to say, you know, I've always loved you. But he says it in a way where Garrick gets it, whereas Dukat's like, stay here. I don't care. I'm done with you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of very un-Cardassian.
Yes.
In terms of family, yeah.
Yep.
So we know Garrick is already kind of, well, he's always been kind of crazy.
Yes.
I mean, just his preference of alien women.
Right. You mean Dukat.
Dukat.
I think you said Garrick.
Yep, Dukat.
But, I mean, this shows, I mean, Garrick is just, I mean, what a fascinating character.
Yes.
Where it's a lot of it is about his father. I mean, it's great to know this, and it makes the character in the beginning of the show have just way more depth.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what they don't say is, so Tane is like, are you alone? And Garrick is like, yeah, even though Bashir is like right there.
Yes.
And it's almost like he needs someone, he needs Bashir to hear, like he needs someone else to see this.
Right.
See the acknowledgement.
Maybe just so that he can have somebody else to verify with later. Did he really say that?
Right.
Or was I hoping it too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Was that just an acknowledgement of a trust that has grown between the two?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Because Tane could have said anything. He could have said, you know, some fabulous conspiracy that, you know, he was putting together and he wants Garrick to complete or something. You know?
Right.
And that would not have been out of character either.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think it showed something else than... I agree that it was something as part of did it really happen sort of thing.
Right.
But I also, he would not have done that if he did not really have this trust with an amazing trust with a Starfleet officer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So really, I think it was a fantastic scene.
Yeah, it was.
In many ways. All right. After this sentimental goodbye to his father, Garrick decides it's time to escape. And it's funny. He's like, he's all business now.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm done here. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we are pulled on back to Deep Space Nine, where the listening post just on the other side of the wormhole went dead. Sisko orders the wormhole sealed. They can wait for Worf and Garrick no longer. During the process, there's a small explosion.
Someone sabotaged the emitter array.
Captain, the wormhole's opening.
Battle stations.
And then we're left waiting to see what happens when all the Dominion ships that have come through that have just poured through the wormhole.
Yes.
And then it says, yes. To be continued.
Yep.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
I kind of liked the three big beams coming off of the pylons of the space station shooting out into the wormhole.
Oh, yeah. That like opened it up.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And that's the episode.
All right.
All right. Episode name meaning. Is this like a Shakespeare one?
I don't know, but I could see Purgatory's shadow as Garrick in his father's shadow, basically just eternally waiting
for that
approval that's never going to come.
And it's the opposite with Dukat. He wants to be loved.
he wants to be obeyed.
Well, yeah, I guess love is kind of weird for him.
Yeah, it is. For him, love is more like worship and obedience.
But he still wanted something.
Yes, yes, he did.
He was in his own little purgatory.
Yes.
Well, it can also refer to the time on the rock.
What?
On the rock.
Right, when they're in prison on that asteroid. And, you know, we're just waiting to see what happens afterwards. Everything else is sort of revolving around what they do there.
Oh, you mean in the internment camp?
Yeah. Remember when they show when they're showing it from a distance, they're on a building built on an asteroid.
Right. Which is why he told them there is no atmosphere if you go outside the dome.
Right.
Because you're basically just walking into space.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the earlier ones. I think it's more poetic the other way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of this is the suffering that they're going to endure in the Dominion War. That's like kind of purgatory, but not really, but because that's more of the next episode after this, which is By Inferno's Light.
Yeah.
All right. German episode name.
Don't eat the sandwich.
I don't know if there's a good one.
Could be like Shapeshifter Revealed.
Right.
Don't listen to the message.
All about spies.
Don't go into the nebula.
Yeah. Nebulas are wonderful hiding places.
Spies are us. Right. Well, it's time to rate it. Oh, let's see. And Ben, you picked it, so that means you get to rate first.
I run into the common thing that happens when we do a two-parter as two separate episodes. So on its own, and I reserve the right to come revisit this and give a two-parter review, but on its own, I give it a 5.
Wow.
Because on its own, it leaves stuff hanging. It doesn't complete so much. So it doesn't complete things. Like, when I watched this, I had to watch the next one.
Nope, I didn't.
I did.
It's not as bad as, what was the one with Picard? And Riker says, fire.
Oh, yes.
Because Picard's a Borg.
Yes. Wasn't that bad, you're correct.
Nothing was that bad. Man, that was back when we had to watch episodes like one at a time every week. That was awful. And we had to wait a whole summer. Man, that's all anybody was talking about. It was like the Dallas thing. Shot JR.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. When that came out, my mom actually, I was a little kid, my mom actually bought me a I Shot JR shirt.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed this episode. There's all types of misdirection. It's like Martok came out of nowhere. That was great.
Yes.
It's like 2 years. Wow. So many cool things happened. So many. It was good acting. Everybody did a great job. The special effects were on par with everything else. There's nothing, I think, fantastic. But I was just super happy with this episode. I'm going to give this one an 8. Esling.
Okay, I think it's no surprise that I absolutely adore Garrick.
Yes, I believe that has been established.
Yes. I mean, he's snarky, but he does try his best. I mean, he's committed to helping himself, but...
Just but like at the me. Same,
but at the same time, he has that very, very driven need to be loved, and that's something that we finally get to see realized. You know,
yes.
He's been searching for this his whole life, and he finally gets it. And unfortunately, it takes his father dying to get it.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know, that's what happened.
Right.
And so there was some character development there. There was certainly some character development in the terms of, oh my gosh, Bashir's a changeling.
Yes.
So I thought this was pretty cool. I'm sad it was a cliffhanger, you know, that it's a two-parter, but now I get to watch a second part of Bashir being, you know, the changeling and hopefully getting caught.
Well, we'll find out in a year maybe, to seven whenever we review the next one.
Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he stays that way forever. But I'm going to give it an 8 because it really was dazzling. It was clever. There was plenty of snarkiness in there. And we learned a lot about Gul Dukat, too.
Yes. Okay, so for me, this was the episode of reveals. They reveal that Bashir is the shapeshifter. They reveal that Martok's been a shapeshifter for 2 years. They reveal that Garrick has been trying basically his entire life to get his father to admit that he loves him.
And none of them were lame reveals.
No, they were not.
No.
So, I mean, just for the heaviness of the entire episode, and they were all really cool reveals, I'm going to give this an 8 also.
What is there?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard to clip this. It was really hard to clip this because it was so dense with good stuff.
Yep.
Okay, that gives us a rating of 7 for our Treknologic rating. Exceptional.
Awesome.
I actually would bump mine to 7. You guys can.
Well, you don't have to bump it. You can keep it.
It was really good. My only thing was, and it's not really a fault of the episode. My irritation with the episode is not that the episode is bad. It's that it was too good. I was like, but I don't want to.
I hate you because you're too good.
Because I'm like, I don't want to end here. I have to know what's going on next. And that was my frustration. And that's really not a fault of the writing. That's actually positive for the writing.
Yes.
I want to know what happens next.
I'm more like, dang it, why you make me wait?
I hope that's the case with the next Star Trek, right? You know, each episode, it's like, yes. Oh, man, I want to know what goes on.
Hopefully so.
What was that?
Unknown.
For 100 Quatloos.
This is a test of some kind, isn't it?
Wager. 100 Quatloos. 400 Quatloos. 200 Quatloos against.
Hey, everybody, more Treknologic trivia.
Yay!
Seems like it's been a while since we've done this.
I think we did it last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
I know, but it's been
two weeks. That's a while.
That's a while. So currently, Ben has 415 Quatloos.
Nice.
Mike has 722.
Way to go.
Yes.
And Chris has 772.
50 Quatloos away.
I think like when you hit 999, it rolls over and goes to zero again.
No, it doesn't. This is like a pinball machine. It goes into like the trillions.
Wait, how do you know how it works? This is my system.
It. See this spreadsheet right here? I know exactly how it works. Trust me, that spreadsheet will not roll over for a long time.
Your spreadsheet might not. Okay, so we have some trivia to do, right?
Yes, I think so. If the book is willing.
I don't know if the book is willing. Let us see. Book. Are you willing? I think maybe it might be. Maybe. Maybe you're lucky.
I don't believe it.
Well, you might not be lucky to get good questions.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Let me see what the answer for.
We're lucky enough to get questions, not necessarily ones we can actually answer.
All right, Ben, because I know you're just thrilled to death. Let me give you some trivia. Ben, what had Seven's parents developed to go undetected by the Borg?
Special shielding.
Can you be more specific?
I would have if I could have.
Is it A, personal cloaking technology? B, transphasic shielding, C, biodampener, or D, bioecho simulations?
I'm going to say C.
Oh. Dang.
Wow.
I mean, that is a shield of some kind. I just.
Right.
It doesn't have the word shielding in it. All right, Mike.
I'm ready.
What episode featured the intendant of the Mirror Universe's only visit to the real universe? Because I know you're so good with episode titles.
Episode name.
I don't even have a clue what episode that was, let alone its name.
Yeah, I have to agree.
So I'm going to say No Guess.
I'm sorry, I don't believe there is an episode titled No Guess, but is it A, Resurrection, B, Through the Looking Glass, C, Shattered, or D, The Emperor's New Cloak?
I'm going to guess Through the Looking Glass. Ah, Emperor's New Cloak?
Nope.
Shattered.
Dang. Nope.
What? Oh.
It was Resurrection.
Oh, right, because they had to bring up one of the characters that had died, Ben, right? I think we reviewed that.
I think so.
I thought we did too, but... Oh, the intendant! That was freaking Kira.
Kira, yes.
Yes.
Kira
was the intendant. All right, Chris.
Yep.
Who said primitive? Maybe so, but sometimes there's a lot to be said for an experience that's primitive.
McCoy.
No, wrong series. It's A, Commander Riker, B, Worf, C, Soren, or D, Geordi.
Hey, Riker, that sounds like something he'd say.
That was my guess, too.
Yay!
That was totally a Riker statement.
Right?
I actually would have got two Quaaludes for it, because he was my first guess.
Kirk is another good guess, too. Okay, Ben. What was Nancy Crater's affectionate nickname for her old flame, Dr. McCoy?
Nancy Crater?
That's what it says.
I know the episode, but I can't remember the... So I can't steal.
Grumpy.
Grumpy is not a choice. Let me read them to you. Is it A, Magnolia, B, Plum, C, Sugar, or D, Bones?
Wow. Can you combine?
None of those sound good.
Can you combine two of them? Because Sugar Bones sounds pretty yes, fun.
It does.
I thought you were going to say Sugar Magnolia. Magnolia Bones.
C.
C, Sugar?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Bones. Maybe that's where he got his nickname.
Nope.
I think it's Plum.
It's Plum.
Plum. Who calls anybody Plum?
Unless you're like that character from Clue, nobody.
Right.
All right. Mike.
Yes.
Hey, good news.
Nobody had this one before?
Yeah, no one had this one before. And it's not an episode title one.
Awesome.
Yes. What were the segregated 21st century holding areas for the homeless and unemployed called?
Oh. I actually remember what episode that's from, but I don't remember what they called them.
Steel.
No, they didn't call them steel.
I'm going to need multiple choice.
All right. You know what? I'll just skip reading you C if you want, because you're never going to pick it anyway.
No, sometimes I do, even though I know it's going to bite me.
Okay. Is it A, Bell Areas, B, Sanctuary Districts, C, Paradise Camps, or D, Home Fronts?
It's B, Sanctuary Districts.
Yep.
I think that's good. You know, I can save myself some time by just not reading you the letter C. All right, Chris.
Yep.
Oh, Chris. The book loves you.
Oh, jeez.
I can't believe you said that.
What race does Odo belong to?
Let's see. I think he's a founder. Is that what they call the race? I hope so.
No, that is not what they call the race.
Oh, no.
You'll be able to get it from the multiple choice, I'm sure.
Changeling is what I meant.
It's too late. You already answered with founder, so now you got to go multiple choice. So let me tell you your options. Is it A, Bajorn, B, Changeling, C, Vorta, or D, Jem'Hadar? You want to change your thing now?
To Changeling, yes.
Well, you get one Quatlu for that. And here, I'll press the button so you feel better.
All right.
Although I would have laughed really hard if the book thought it was wrong.
Yes. What?
Because, you know, sometimes that happens.
Yes.
He's also a founder, though. I should have gotten that.
That is their political affiliation, not their race name.
They're all the same.
Okay. You might all get this one. Let's see. Okay. So, in Voyager, they had gel packs.
Ugh.
They could be affected by things that attack living tissue. In one instance, the gel packs became infected and critical systems began to shut down. How did Lieutenant Torres fight the virus? If you know, write down your wager and your answer.
I think they stopped talking about those gel packs after a year or two.
Yes, thank goodness.
I didn't mind them. Apparently you don't like them. Oh, of course, the ship doesn't like anything organic.
It's dumb.
Yeah, they should have just used holograms for everything.
No, believe it or not, even for holograms, you do need hardware somewhere.
I swear, you're so prejudiced against us organics.
I haven't tried to get you guys all put into packs.
I'm going to have some installed.
All of the crew have to sleep in big giant packs on the wall when they go to bed.
I don't think I'd fit into a pack.
Well, anyway, I'm not guessing. I don't remember for sure how she fought it. Karate, maybe. I don't know. Karate.
She took a bat lift to it.
Yes.
Ben, are you going to guess? Maybe. Chris, are you going to guess?
I don't think so, because I don't think it's as easy as, like, inoculate.
Right. And plus, why would B'Elanna do that?
Ben, are you going for it? I can't tell if Ben is muted or
you're muted, Ben.
Yes, I'm going to go all in.
You're going all in?
All in?
Yep.
Ooh, this proves to be interesting. Okay. All right, Ben's going all in, which is 415 plus whatever he got tonight.
Yes, 416.
416.
She gave the ship a fever with plasma.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
She did.
I love the bioneural gel packs. I actually remember that.
She superheated it and gave it a fever.
All right, that's a dumb. That's a dumb way to do it.
They got an infection from the cheese.
The cheese is that the episode that has to get that cheese to the med bay?
Cheese to sick bay.
Yes,
Talaxian cheese.
It was alien cheese. I don't know if it was Talaxian, and I remember it was alien cheese, and it infected it. So. When she was talking, the doctor's like, well, you know, she was talking. They're like, normally you'd get an infection. She was like, and you'd get a fever so your body could fight it. She's like, a fever.
For the flavor of that Talaxian cheese.
That's right.
This is also the reason why they started to get rid of them.
Yes. In fact, that might have been the episode that made me realize how dumb they were. The entire ship got infected and is being destroyed.
Well, thanks to that entire ship getting infected and almost becoming destroyed, Ben has now jumped ahead of everybody else.
Yes, 832 Quatloos.
Nice. So now I need a listener question. So let's see.
Wait a minute. We need this, I think.
You have it on loop.
Isn't it like 15 minutes of loop?
That's the
best. We should make it 10 hours of that and put it up on our YouTube.
Let's not.
Oh.
Let's not and say we totally did not. All righty. So, hey, I got one for our listeners. So, listeners, if you know which Leave It to Beaver actor directed the episode Field of Fire, you can send me a private message in our forums, a direct message on Twitter, or an email to carrie@technologic.com with your answer, and you can win one Quatloo, because Ben took home like all my other ones tonight.
Yes, the bank has been broken tonight.
Yes. Now Mike is rethinking that whole, like, when you get to 999.
No, I'm not. I'll get there someday. I don't care if Ben gets there first.
Yeah, the problem is, it's like, what answer will I know that Ben won't know?
Yes. It'll have to be an original series one.
Yeah, he's too young for that, because he's like 30.
I am 12 years older than that.
Well, that's like way younger than me.
Oh.
All right. Thank you for listening. Oh, and you know what? We love feedback. In fact, we read, listen to, and discuss our feedback in the Listening Post podcast, which was released last week. You can give us feedback by giving us a nice iTunes review, by emailing us at feedback@trekkinglogic.com. You can even email us voicemails. You can tweet us at Trekkinglogic. You can find us on Facebook, and we have a Trekkinglogic forum at trekkinglogic.com. So join our discussions and let us know what you think. Hey, Carrie, what are we reviewing next time?
Hey, we're going to go see some floaty head dudes. They happen to be called the Metrons. The Metrons.
Metronomes.
Yeah. In the original series episode, Spectre of the Gun. Is it Chekhov's gun?
I don't know. We'll find out.
He's in it. He's on the away team, so we'll have to find out, yeah. Until then, on behalf of everyone here at Trekkinglogic, love long and prosper.
This is Internment Camp 371. You are here because you are enemies of the Dominion. There is no release, no escape, except bloopers.
You're muted, Chris.
Damn it, Jim. Carrie, I never found out.
You never found out what? Uh-oh, do I have to erase your memory?
Was that it?
I don't know. Was that
yeah.
it? Yeah. Nothing else. That's all I have to say about that.
That's it. That's all I have to say.